can we have a relationship with God where he's our father? You remember the guy that created everything? The guy that knows everything? The guy that holds it all together? And yet he wants to be your father. Well, how can that be? You think about in John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power, or some translations say the right, which is a better translation, the right to become the sons or the children of God. How do we become the sons or the children of God? The verse ends, by even to them that believe on his name. You can become God's child by believing on him. What do you got to believe? Is it just that you believe that God exists and he's up, the man upstairs, and he's going to make it all work out in the end? No. You've got to believe that you're a sinner and that he sent his son Jesus into this world to take the payment for our sin. And in accepting his payment for our sin, we become part of God's family. He makes us his child. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, it says, "Ye are the children or the sons of God by what?" You're the sons of God by faith. Okay? So, Jesus is instructing these people on how to pray. And he says in our verse here, "Our Father." If you want to pray and you want to get a connection with God, you've got to have a relationship with him. He's got to be your father. I know a lot of unchurched, unsaved people that talk about, they pray, they talk to God about this. God's under no obligation to hear their requests. The first thing he wants to hear from the unsaved person is their acceptance of him. But God, it says, our Father, which art in heaven. Think about this. If my son comes to my house and he wants to borrow some of my tools, okay? Which he does that from time to time. And, he might text me over, "Hey, can I borrow this or can I borrow that?" Sure, just take it, you know. He's my son. I'm going to let him do it. Now, if one of you folks call me up and I don't know too much about you, am I going to allow you, can I borrow your car? Take your truck? Well, I don't know you. We don't have a relationship like I do with my son. It's the same way with God. When we have a relationship with him and he's our father, that gives us the right and the privilege to come to him and bring our requests to him. So our verse continues, "Our Father which art in heaven." This is making it clear that they have a father, not talking about some earthly person, but a father that's in heaven. Now think about this. If your father lives in heaven, guess what? You've got a right to go there someday. You know? You can go home. When you leave this world, you've got a home in heaven based on your faith in Jesus Christ. So our verse says, "Our Father which art in heaven," and then it goes, "Hallowed be thy name." The word hallowed means holy or sacred. The idea of respecting his name, to have reverence for. When we come to God in prayer, we need to reverence him. We need to come to him with humility. And that's what Jesus is encouraging them to do there. I want to take and apply this a little bit in the earthly sense, that God has given us earthly parents. And the Bible's given some very clear instructions like, honor thy father and thy mother. We need to reverence our parents. Does that mean that our parents and our fathers, especially what we're talking about today, does that mean they're always going to deserve that respect? Sometimes they don't. Some people make poor choices. But God has established that order, and that we need to honor our father and our mother. God the Father in heaven, he's completely worthy of our respect and our reverence And we need to give that to him. So our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then in verse 10 it talks about thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, our Father in heaven, if you're placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've got a Father in heaven. And guess what? He has a plan. He's got it figured out. He knows the future. And he wants us on board with his plan. God's desire for us is to serve him, to worship him. And what he wants for us is the best for us. He's not some bully up there in heaven. Well, I'm going to make them go be a missionary to Timbuktu whether they want to or not, and I'm going to torture them with this. No. God's plan and his desire is for what is the best for us. Many times we resist that what he wants for us. So God has a plan. His kingdom come, his will be done as it is in heaven. Are we willing to submit to God, the plan that our Heavenly Father has for us? Moving on then. Verse 11. It says, give us this day our daily bread. We got a Father that's rich. Remember that? We asked, you know, we got a Father that's rich. How much does their Father in heaven own? How much stuff does he have? Well, he got a whole lot of stuff, right? In Psalm chapter 50, verses 10 and 11, it talks about the beasts of the field are his and all the things in the earth. You think about the psalm that John Peterson wrote, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine, which is what that song is based on, Psalm 50. If you're a believer, you have a Father that owns it all. And guess what? He's willing to share that with you. And, you know, in measure, depending on what you need, based on, you know, what's best for us. But we can go to our Heavenly Father and we can ask him when we have need. And he has the means and he has the ability to meet those needs. He can give us our daily bread. In my life, I've seen God provide in really unique ways. I raise cattle, and there's times when the market is really bad. There's no buyers out there. And yet I've had get a phone call. Do you got any cattle for sale? Now, it works a lot better when you're selling if they come to you than if you go to them. Okay, you can work a little better on price that way. But God has sent me buyers when there's nobody out there according to the market reports. God can meet your needs. And guess what? God has a history of being really creative. Go back in the book of Genesis. He made everything, and he's not constrained by the things that the world puts on him. We have a Father in heaven that can give us our daily bread. The idea of the daily bread there is this is our needs as we need them. It doesn't say that God's going to lay it all out there for the next 50 years and going to have it all there and you just have to take it as and see it's all laid out. But when our daily needs, the idea is he's going to give it to us as we need it. We continue then, verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now the word, in Luke's account, the word for debts there is the word sin. Oh, there's times that we can sin. That we can break that relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. That's not good. Even Christians can do that. Have you noticed that? Have you ever seen a Christian that sinned? No. you don't have to look too far. At least, you know, you look in the mirror, you can probably find one. But anyway, Jesus was telling them that we need to ask God for forgiveness of our sin, of the things that we've done wrong. I have not been watching my notes in the last 10 minutes. I'm completely lost, so hang on here till I find where I'm at. You know, in our relationship with God, we didn't, or he didn't go anywhere, right? When our relationship gets messed up, it's because we've moved away from him. And how do we make that relationship right? We've got to confess our sin, and we've got to come back to him. You think of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sin, and that 1 John's written to believers, so believers are going to sin. If we confess our sin, what? He's faithful and just to what? Forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So Jesus was instructing them in the relationship with their Father. There's going to be times when you mess up, but you need to confess that. You need to ask for his forgiveness. And then the end of verse 12, he says, as we forgive our debtors, or that we forgive the people that have sinned against us. Do you really want to do that? Do you want God treating you the same way you treat other people? Ooh, that's enough to give you a pause. It's like, maybe I need to rethink the way I'm treating others. But God wants us to have a good relationship with him and a good relationship with other people. In verse 13 it says, and lead us not into temptation. Now does God tempt anybody? No. It would probably be better translated, lead us not into testing, or lead us not into trust. So if God doesn't tempt us, who does? Satan, the devil. And, you know, we're led of our own desires, which is prompted by Satan. And in this prayer, Jesus was teaching them, talk to your Heavenly Father and ask him for his guidance and his protection against Satan's attacks. We can't stand up to Satan on our own. He's too strong. But if we've got God on our side and we're committed to him, we can have a hedge of protection. You think about as a parent, what does a parent do? A parent makes boundaries. Right? Don't go there. Don't do this. Don't hang out with that person. What's that for? That's for our protection. And in this prayer, Jesus is telling them, ask the Heavenly Father to put some boundaries up that would protect us from the evil one. For that, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And there, Jesus is just reminding them that God is in control. You know, he's got the kingdom, he's got the power, it's all his. And so I want you to think about this. We have a Father that's in heaven. Or I hope you have a Father that's in heaven. Do you have a Father that's in heaven? Do you have a relationship with him? So let's think about our Father, Heavenly Father, compared to the list of some of the things that we started out with on the characteristics that we want in a good Father. Is God loving? Okay. How do we know that God loves us? Well, for one thing, he sent his son Jesus into this world to die for sins. He didn't have to do that. So God the Father, check, he's loving. Is he compassionate? He's compassionate. Can we trust God? Can you depend on God? We can trust. He's dependable. Is he honest? Is he going to tell us one thing and then change the rules on us? No, he's completely honest. He's dependable. Is God faithful? Yeah. Scripture says he never changes. And guess what? He's even rich. Right? He's got access to all of them. He's the best Father that any of us could ever have. So, conclusion of this, are you part of the family? We talked about it here in the beginning. It's your choice. God has made it possible for you to be his child. When you place your faith and trust in him as a Savior, He adopts you into his family. And you get the benefits of a child. So have you ever done it? You see, the payment for your sin has been made. If you don't accept the payment that Jesus made for you, then you're going to have to make that payment yourself in eternity. The second application is, are you doing your part to maintain this relationship with your Heavenly Father? This is Father's Day. So most people are probably, if their father's alive, they're going to try to reach out some way, or they sent a card, they're going to call, they're going to go by, do something. What are you doing to maintain your relationship with your Heavenly Father? What can we do?
Prayer.
We need to talk to Him. Not just a list of, hey God, I need this, I need this, I need this. But we need confession, we need praise, we need worship of Him. Okay, so are you part of the family? Are you doing your part to maintain a relationship with Him? And then a little bit of moral, earthly application. How are you relating with people in your life? Your own father, your parents. Are you honoring them in the way that God wants you to? And you say, well, my parents are dead. They're gone. They're in heaven. You can honor or you can dishonor your parents even though they're gone. And I don't think there's a statute of limitations on how long you have to honor your parents. So that's what my message is here for today. The best father, it's God. He's in heaven. You can have a relationship with Him. It's your choice, and it's your choice to continue to maintain that relationship. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You love us enough that You want to have a relationship. Even though we're rotten, lousy sinners, You still desire to have a relationship with us. We thank You for that. Lord, help us to do what we need to maintain that relationship, and help us to also do what we need to maintain relationships with the earthly parents that You've placed in our lives. Lord, we love You and we thank You for Your blessings. Lord, if there's anyone here that needs to make a spiritual decision, I pray that they would seek out counsel, one of the elders or myself, and that they would do that today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.